Father, when you guys hear that word, there's probably a wide range of emotions when you hear the word Father. For me, I know that when I hear the word Father, I think of my dad, who is very hardworking. He is very loyal to his family. My dad is a very selfless guy. He basically would work hard, never worried about spending money on themselves growing up, but me and my sister, we always had the nicest clothes we had. He was just a good dad. So when I think of my dad, when I think of the word father, I think of my dad, someone that has been there in my life when I've needed him, when I needed help to work on something or whatever, when I need to figure something out, my dad has been there in my life. But for some of you, when you hear the word father, there's a different thought that goes into your mind. You see, when you hear the word father, you think abusive. You think mean stepdad. You think someone that has never been there. Someone that wasn't there your entire life. Someone that left you and your family. And so when you hear the word father, it just brings up anger inside of you, and you don't have good thoughts about what the father looks like and who he is. So we have this story of two sons. And I want to talk about the first son real quick. You see, when you are a parent, sometimes you can do everything right. You can raise your kids in church. You can do things the right way. And yet still, they just kind of go their own way. They can still be rebellious. This is what this son did. This son had a good, loving father that loved him. And yet he still rejected the love of the father. Which brings us to our first character in the story, the rebellious. Let's look at verse 12. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had. He set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So we have this prodigal son. We have this prodigal. This is a very familiar story in Scripture. This is a parable that Jesus was telling. And he's basically talking to a group of very religious people and a group of very rebellious people that are sitting here and they're listening to this story. And Jesus talks about a lost coin and how they celebrated over the lost coin, the lost sheep, how the father left the 99 to go find the one. And he comes to this story of the son that goes astray. And he leaves and he squanders his wealth on wild living. And here's basically what the prodigal was saying. He was basically saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Go ahead and give me all this money. I know that you've been saving up this wealth and inheritance to give us when you pass on. Go ahead and give me my portion of that. I'm done with you. I'm out of here. I'm not living with you anymore. I'm no longer under your roof. I'm no longer under your rules. I'm done with you." And so he takes all of his possessions. And so the father just willingly gives himself away. He gives him all of this stuff. So just think about this. The father probably wasn't prepared for this. So he probably had to liquidate his assets. He probably had to make things a lot cheaper than they actually were. And the father just gives him his portion and he leaves. And he leaves to a distant country and squanders his wealth on wild living. You see, when it comes to God, guys, I feel like a lot of times we do the exact same thing. We say, "All right, God, I know you got all these rules in place, but that doesn't apply to me. I'm not going to follow that." And we begin to justify, like, okay, we can get by with this. We begin to dig in Scripture. How can I? Is this okay to get by with? And if we can just kind of figure it out, something that kind of fits where we're at, we justify our sin. And we do that, don't we? We basically ignore the Father's rules that He has in place throughout Scripture. Jesus, the Father has these rules in place for us. Do you know why the Father has these rules in place for us? It's not because He's a mean dad that wants to constantly just discipline and down His kids. The reason that God has all these things in place is so you don't have to be stressed out, so that you don't have to go through heartache, so that you don't have to go through a lot of pain in life. There's a reason that God puts these things in place through Scripture. It's not because He's a mean dad. It's because He wants what's best for His children. The decisions you make now is going to impact the rest of your life, and the Father realizes that. All you see is this temporary moment of pleasure, but the Father sees how you're affecting generations. And if you can just grasp in your mind, like, this is what I got, I need to make a change, then maybe things will be a little bit different. But there's some of you in this room that are squandering, and you're living your life on reckless and immoral living. Some of you here today, you have a really hard time with alcohol. You started out as just a casual drink, but now you can't get enough of it. You have to have it. Your body constantly needs that to survive. Even though the Bible tells you not to get drunk, you're doing it anyways. You're spending your life on reckless living. There are some of you in this room that are living with someone outside of marriage. You're maybe living with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or maybe you're living with a woman, or you're living with a husband. Even though the Bible tells you these things are wrong, God, you're still rejecting this. And God's like, I don't want you to do this. There's a reason why I'm trying to show you this love. I don't want you to have to go through this. And you say, well, we don't really have sex per se, but we live together. I mean, so that must be okay, right? Well, here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 5:3. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. You know what that means? If you're living together, you know what people's thinking about you? Well, I know what they're doing. I know how they're living their life. So people have these perceived thoughts in their mind about how you are, even though if you claim to be a Christian, you claim to come to church, there's a part of you in your life where it's like you're just living your life, and it doesn't seem reckless. But what's happening is your kids are starting to notice this, like, oh, well, it must be okay for my mom to do it. It must be okay for my dad to do this. So it must be okay for me too. And you don't realize the impact that you're making in your life. You think it's okay. I can justify this. But sex outside of marriage, through the Bible, if you look through the lens of Scripture, it's wrong. It's not right. And the reason God knows this is because when you get married, the two become one flesh. So outside of marriage, the two are becoming one flesh, outside the laws of marriage. So therefore, you're bringing in a lot of junk into your life that you shouldn't even have. Some of you are going out to lunch with the opposite sex, and it's okay because it's like a casual, it's a friend at work. But you're setting yourself up for failure. It doesn't seem reckless. It doesn't seem immoral. It seems kind of casual. It kind of seems like it's not such a big deal. But if you continue down that slippery slope, you're going to end up sleeping with that person. You're going to end up falling for that person. You're going to end up losing your marriage. You don't see the effects that you're having right now and the impact that you're having in your life, but I promise you it impacts a whole lot more than yourself. Some of you in this room today are in debt really, really bad. And the reason you're in debt really bad is because you're all about buying the new vehicles all the time. You're all about having the best material possessions. You're all about having the big house. Even though you don't have the money, Dave Ramsey says you buy cars to buy cars that you can't afford to impress people that you don't like. Basically is what we're doing. I've got a beat up car that's probably got like, I think it's got close to 250,000 on it. I could care less about a car. It doesn't matter to me. It's just a car. It gets me from point A to point B. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. I'm not saying that. But the problem is you're being kind of reckless with your spending. You're going out and you're getting yourself in such a debt to where you can't even get out of it. And you're just so in that where it's like, we're about to file for bankruptcy because I don't know what else we're going to do. And you're at that point in your life because you're wasting your life on wild living. Some of you in this room have a really bad addiction to gambling. Started out as a casual fun trip with your friends to the casino, a fun night, but now you're trying to sneak money out of your bank account. You're hiding things from your wife. If you make any extra funds at work, you're hiding those funds and you're putting it back just so you can get your fix on the way home and try to make a little bit of extra cash. and you're wasting your family's wealth away on wild, reckless living. Some of you in this room have a terrible addiction to pornography, and it continues to progress and it continues to get worse, and you're wasting away your life on reckless living. It doesn't seem reckless, but anything outside the Father, anything outside what the Father says is right, is reckless. It's wild living. It's not what the Father intends for you. The Father intends nothing but good for you. There's some of you in this room that might even be having an affair right now. I don't know. You know where you're at in your life. You know where you're at in your heart. You know the woman, or you know the guy you're checking out at work. You know what's going on in your life, and you need to change that. But regardless, every single one of us in this room at one time or another has done something wrong. We've done something reckless. But there are those of you in this room that are living right now like the prodigal, and you're wasting away your life on reckless living. Let's look at verse 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So now this guy is in a complete mess. His life is a wreck. He's basically hit rock bottom. He's done the party scene. He's probably had some drugs. He's probably had the drinks. He's probably had everything at his fingertips, because life was good for a while until the funds ran out, until there was a severe famine in the land, until he had nothing left, until he was homeless on the street. He got to that point. So he's in a mess. And there's a severe famine in the land. And basically what a severe famine meant, that basically the entire economy had crashed. Everything was really bad in that country. It wasn't a good place that you want to be. And he's starving to death, and he's literally at the end of his rope, and he's just begging for someone just to give him just anything at all. And no one would give him anything. He's homeless. His life's a wreck. He's probably strung out on drugs. It's a terrible place where he has went. And he does the unthinkable. And Jesus is telling this to a group of Jewish people. I just love Jesus. He's telling this to a group of Jewish people, and he's like, and he was a pig farmer. So to them, pigs were a very unclean animal. You don't eat pork. So to them, this was like the lowest of the low. This was the worst possible thing that he could have done. He's a pig farmer. Some of you in this room are pig farmers, and it's like, there's nothing wrong with a pig farmer. What are you talking about? Some of you grew up maybe with people that are pig farmers, so I apologize if I offended you. But in their culture and in their day, this was a very bad, this was the worst that could have possibly, this was Jesus saying, this guy had lost it all. He had hit rock bottom because of his ideas and because of his thoughts, because of how he had wasted his life. And he probably looked around and he probably thought, How did I get here? How did I get to this place? Because when I look in the mirror, I don't like this person that I see staring back at me. I see someone that is very reckless. I see someone that never intended to go this fun. I just wanted to have fun for a little while. And now here I am in a mess. I'm here in the slop of the pigs, and all I want is just some of the slop that the pigs are eating. That's all I want. That would just satisfy my hunger for just a little bit. And he's in a pig pen. A lot of you here today are literally in your life in a pig pen. You're in a mess. You're in a bad situation in your marriage. Your marriage is falling apart. Your life is falling apart. You're about to lose your job because of the issues you're dealing with outside of work. Things are not good. It's just not a good scenario at all. And you're stuck in a pig pen. I think of my friend when I think of this. My friend that had in high school, we was really good friends. He had went to church. He was in church. He was faithful to church. But there came a point in his life where he said, I'm just going to go out and have and enjoy the party scene for a little while. And when he went out and he started to enjoy that scene for a little while, here we are, 15 years later, and he's still in the party scene. And at this point in his life, it's not even pleasurable anymore. It's not something that he enjoys anymore. You know why he's still in that state? You know why he's still in that scene? He's addicted to it. He cannot stop. He has gotten to the place where his body needs alcohol. Like he literally called me a while back and he said, you would be really proud of me. I have went 2 days without drinking alcohol. And he was really proud of that. He's like, I'm doing good. I'm done with it. He's like, I'm actually going to come to your church this Sunday. And I'm like, all right, man, that's awesome. I'm really proud of you, you know. And he never shows up. And then he goes silent for a while. You see, every time I'm around my friend, he just shakes all the time. He just basically has trembles and tremors all the time because his body is needing that alcohol. His body is craving that, and because he can't get away from it. He can't get away. He's gotten so down low. He's going and he's trying to just find something to satisfy his addiction. He's trying to find something to fill this void that is missing in his life. He's going and he's gambling all the time. Like he's going and doing all this stuff. He's wasting his life on reckless living because it's going to take for him, unfortunately, it's going to take him literally to hit rock bottom for him to wake up. It's going to take him literally waking up in a pig pen to wake up. Let's look at verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and I'll go back to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. The very first part of that verse says, when he came to his senses. Let me ask you today, what is it going to take in your life for you to come to your senses? What is it going to take for God to finally wake you up? What's it going to take? Is it going to take you losing everything you have to wake up? Is it going to take you losing your marriage for you to wake up? Is it going to take you one of your friends overdosing on drugs for you to wake up? Is it going to take you having a bad doctor's diagnosis to wake up? What is it going to take to you to come to your senses? What's it going to take? You see, because the thing I know about the Father is the Father sometimes will allow things to happen in our life to wake us up, to turn us, to allow us to come to our senses. He'll allow certain things to go so far because it's like, you don't have to go that far. You don't have to go to rock bottom. But if that's what it's going to take, you're going to have to get to this place. This is going to have to happen. You might have to lose a child for you to wake up and change your life. I don't want it to go to that, but it might have to happen because I love you that much and I just want you to come home. When he finally came to his senses. So he starts contemplating in his mind what he's going to say when he comes into the Father's presence. I just picture him just getting out a notepad, just writing a note like, Dear Dad, I've sinned against you. I don't deserve you. I don't. What am I going to say when I come in? He's going to be mad. He's going to be angry. He's going to be frustrated with me. I will never be able to be his son again. And he says, if I could just be one of my father's servants, if I could just be one of these people, they've got it a whole lot better than I do right now. If I could just have the crumbs from their table, it's better than what I've got right now. See, guys, we got to come to God in the same way that this guy came to God. We got to come to God with a humble heart. We got to come to God saying, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. Lord, I don't deserve you and I don't deserve your grace. I know I've messed up. I know I've done wrong. I don't deserve your love. Lord, if I just have to sit in the back dark corner the rest of my life, I just want to be where you are. I just want to be in your presence. I don't care if I ever get a position. I don't care if I ever do anything in the church. If I just have to sit in the back corner and just pray the rest of my days, Lord, if that's where you're calling me, I don't care. I just want to be where you are, Father. Guys, we've got to wake up and realize, we've got to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I need you in my life. Verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. I just picture this dad coming out every day on his front porch and just waiting. Is today going to be the day? I don't know why I picture a front porch. I just like front porches. So don't judge me. I've got a wraparound porch, almost. It's like a half wraparound porch because I like the porch. But anyways, that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. Rabbit trail, get back on track. All right. But I just picture him coming out every day. Is today going to be the day that my son comes home? Today is going to be the day? I picture him just in his room, just crying at night and praying, like, keep my son safe, keep him safe, and let him just come home. And he waited with anticipation every single day. I just picture him coming out and just looking down this long road and waiting for his son to come home. And then one day, he comes out on that front porch, and he's just looking off in the distance, and he sees this guy that's, he's got holes on his shirt. His shirt's kind of all stretched out. He's really dirty looking. His beard's all grown out. His hair looks like it's matted to his head. What the father does is he instantly recognizes, that's my boy. That is my son. And he takes off running, he sprints, and he just wraps his arms around him and he starts kissing him and he starts hugging him. The thing about this, guys, and I want to tell you real quick, is while you were a long way off, some of you today in this room are a long way off. You're getting things, you're still a baby Christian, and that's okay. But you're a long way off. And the Father sees you. It's not who I created them to be. Man, their eyes look red. They look like they're strung out a little bit. They don't look like the person I created in my image, but that's my boy. That's my girl. See, the Father recognizes us and He knows us. Even in our worst state, He's there and He loves us. He loves you. While we were still a long way off, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we didn't deserve it. We can't earn it. And yet still, He gave His life away for every one of us. There's nothing we could do to earn the Father's love. And He comes and He's trying to explain Himself to the dad. I love this picture. He's trying to explain Himself to the dad. And when He comes into His presence, He's trying to explain, Dad, I'm so sorry. And the dad's like, just forget it. Like, I don't care about what you did in your past. It doesn't matter. Hey, bring out the robe. Bring out the ring. Bring out, let's get the fatted calf on the grill. We're going to have a barbecue tonight. We're going to have a party. My son that was dead has come home. He doesn't care about your past. He doesn't care what you've done wrong. He just wants you to be where He is. He wants you to be in His presence because He loves you. And He puts the ring on His finger. And do you guys know what ring meant in their culture back in that day? It meant authority. God wants me to just tell you today that He has given you authority to live out your life. You don't have to live in shame anymore. Like, I went for years like coming up here and feeling unqualified, feeling unworthy, feeling like I wasn't good enough, and like, oh man, I bombed that. I messed this up. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to preach at this church. I'm not good enough. I went for years having these thoughts in my head. Tasha even made me a key that said unqualified. And I wore it around because that's who I felt that I was. I'm unqualified to do this work that God's, and I still don't feel like I'm qualified. But what I do know now is that I was chosen. I do know now that I've got authority to preach the gospel. God chose me to do this. God chose me for this moment in my life. God loves you. God chose you before the foundations of the world, before your screw-ups, before your mess-ups. God loves you. And we can't earn that. Can't deserve it. But He loves you so much. All you got to do is just turn to the Father. If you're running, you're walking away from the Father. And you say, man, my marriage is about to fall apart. Maybe it's just easier for me to walk away. Maybe it's just easier for me to give up on my marriage. Maybe it's just easier for me to walk out. Then you have a thought, maybe I just need to pray. And maybe I need to ask God for forgiveness because I've been doing some wrong things. You know what happens when you turn, when you repent? It means you basically turn a 180. And when you turn around, you know who's standing right there with open arms? The Father. You know, if you go to the depths of the darkest places in earth, and you go and you squander your life on reckless living, do you know when you come to your senses, you know as soon as you turn around, the Father's there? It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you do. The Father's love will pursue you wherever you go. The Father is always seeking you out. He'll leave everyone to go find you because you are His son. You are His daughter. You were chosen before the foundations of the world. You were chosen before you were in your mother's womb. He loves you so much, He knows every single hair on your head. He knows if I pluck this hair out right now, He knows that that's like number 265 that I just pulled out of my head. The Father recognized that. That's how much the Father cares about the details of our life because He loves you. So the Father goes and he meets the Son. And he just starts... Basically what it means in the Greek there, when he kissed him, when he fell on him and he kissed him, basically what that means is he kissed him repeatedly. I like to think about my little boy Riker. Every time I come home from work in the evening, it never fails. I come home and he goes, Daddy, and just starts running to me. And he just jumps in my arms and gives me the biggest bear hug. And when he gives me that biggest bear hug, I just go, just kiss him all over. This is what the Father was doing. This is what the Father was doing. He loved His son so much. Even though he had messed up, even though he went astray, he loved him. You see, the son was trying to explain all of his past, but the father was just thinking, how can I bless him? That's what the father was thinking. Let's look at verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. Now, I want you to imagine this. Let's look at verse 26. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has come back safe and sound. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. You see, this older brother had basically went out in the field and he had done the work every single day. He was out there feeding the animals. He was probably feeding his brother's animals. So since his brother left, now he was doing his chores as well. Now he was doing his portion of the work. And he became very angry and bitter at his brother over the years. He's like, oh, I can't stand that guy. He's out there just shoveling, just, can't stand this guy. Probably punching the barn a few times. I can't stand this guy. This guy's a joke. He left our family, abandoned us. This guy's a joke. And then he comes to the top of the hill, and the servant, what's going on over there? What's this music and dancing? I don't ever hear that. All this laughter going on over there. Your brother's come home, and your dad is throwing a big party for him. What? He becomes even angrier, enraged with anger. He's looking. I just picture him just up on this hill, like looking down at this party, and he sees his dad out there on the dance floor with the son. He's got the DJ going out there with his favorite song, just living it up. It's awesome. Out there dancing with the father, having a great time. The DJ's got his favorite song playing. It's amazing. It's awesome. He's out there laughing with his friends. And he just becomes very, very mad and very, very, very angry. Because this wayward son is now out there on a dance floor celebrating with a father. It doesn't make sense. You guys know that the most powerful place that we can be is enjoying the Father's love. Celebrating the Father. Celebrating the love of the Father. The Father is so good to us. But he starts thinking, he don't deserve this. He hasn't done anything to deserve this. I'm out here slaving away. I'm out here working my tail off. And this guy that's a joke, that's probably strung out on drugs. He's messed up. He's spent his life with all these women and all this stuff. He's living it up out there. And here I am slaving. And I come out and my dad is out there dancing with him. What is going on? Maybe my dad's lost his mind as well. It didn't make sense. You see, this brother was probably a seemingly good guy. I picture this brother being someone that comes to church faithfully every single service. He's there every single service. Might even raise his hand while worship's going on. Might even go to that extent. I picture him being a good guy. He's probably a hard worker, puts in the hard work, puts in the effort. He puts in what he needs to do. And he's just very mad, and he's very angry, and he's very bitter. Let's look at the end of 28 here. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed you and your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." You can just picture him just like, "You, Dad, you. Why are you doing this, Dad? He doesn't deserve this. He's not good enough. He's not even part of our family anymore. You're wanting me to go in there and celebrate with my brother? No, he doesn't deserve that. He hasn't done anything to deserve your love. I've been here working hard. No, I am not going to go in there and celebrate this guy. He's a joke to our family. No way am I going to do that. I'm not going to go in there and reconcile with him. He's a joke." Maybe some of you in this room aren't rebellious, but maybe some of you in this room are very religious. You're very religious. You're all about the do's and don'ts. You're all about making sure that you do everything right all the time. Like, you're always trying to earn the Father's love. It's like earned. You're all about the do's and the don'ts. You were probably the kid at school growing up that was the tattletale. The kid I couldn't stand. But the problem is you got a lot of pride. The problem is that you're very, very judgmental towards others. You're very harsh towards people. When certain people come in the church, and I've experienced this growing up, that I've experienced people literally gossiping in a church pew talking about the person that came in the back. I've experienced these things. You're very judgmental. You're very mean. You're not loving. You're very hard-hearted. You got a lot of anger and bitterness. You look at people around you and you say, "Well, they're not as good as me." I know that I did that growing up in high school. I got to the place where I would carry my Bible to school. I was always, trying to be the good Christian kid. And I was good at looking that. But the problem is that I had sins in my own life, and I was looking at other people and saying, "Well, my sin ain't nearly as bad as their sin." So it starts this comparison game of, I'm better than you are. I'm not as bad as you are. You're not as good as I am. Like, I'm better than you are. And so I didn't even associate myself with those people because I knew that, you know, it was wrong. Like, you don't do that. I was always trying to earn the Father's love. I was always trying to be this perfect kid. You see, you're one of those people that when you hear the word grace, it doesn't even make sense to you. Maybe some of you in this room have a hard time accepting this idea of Jesus. Like, I don't need to get saved. I don't need to repent because in your mind and in your heart, you don't feel like you've done anything wrong. You don't feel like you've messed up. Like, I've not done anything wrong. I've been coming here faithful to church for years. And I have never done anything wrong. I don't need to repent. I don't need to ask for the Father's forgiveness. I don't need to do this. I'm good. I'm good. There are those of you that allow this to trickle down, and even in your kids' lives, you don't even celebrate your kids. Like, you have a hard time celebrating your kids. You have a hard time loving your kids. You have a hard time because you think, they haven't done anything to earn my love. They haven't done anything to earn that. And you're creating this culture. You're creating this trickling effect of not a loving household. Like, you've got to earn my love. And we do that all the time as parents, don't we? Like, okay, have you cleaned your room? You want to go outside? Well, have you cleaned your room? No. Well, you can't go outside. You haven't earned it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that type of discipline. I'm not saying that. But there comes a time where we need to be more gracious. We need to show more grace, even in our kids' lives. Here's what I've realized is there's been times where my daughter has really needed a whipping. Like, she's needed it. But there was an instance the other day, actually, where she didn't talk very nice to Rihanna. And I said, hey, listen, you don't talk to mommy like that. And you deserve a whipping right now. But I'm not going to give that to you. But the way you were talking to mommy is not the way you need to talk to mommy. It's not very nice. And you need to tell mommy sorry. And I wasn't beating her down. I wasn't punishing her. But I was saying, listen, this is not the best way. You don't treat people like this. And you know what she did? She broke down. It melted her heart that she hurt her mom. Like sometimes, guys, grace is important. We need to show grace even in our kids' lives. I know sometimes it's just like, I got to keep disciplining this kid, but sometimes we just need to be like the Father and show him grace. And that's hard sometimes, isn't it? I know I struggle with it. But here's the sad thing about both of these people, both of the sons in this story. Both of them rejected the Father. The religious rejected the Father. I'm not going to celebrate with that guy. The one that was not religious, the one that was very rebellious, rejected the Father as well. Both of them rejected the Father's love. At one point or another, every one of us in this room have rejected the Father's love. Every single one of us in this room, we've rejected the Father's love. But my question to you today is this. Are you rebellious, or are you religious? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you, God, for just the opportunity to speak up here. And I thank you, God, that you've allowed me to do that. And I pray that I would steward it well. But Lord, I just pray for the one in this room today that is very lost and very broken. God, the one that has been running from you for a long time and feels like you're a mean dad that's going to be standing on that porch and that they can't come back, that they've done messed up too much. And when they come back, it's like, I can't come back to my father because he's going to be mad. He's going to have his arms crossed when I come back to him. I can't go back to him. I can't. I've just done too much wrong. I'm too far gone. I'm wasted goods. I've messed up my life too much. Lord, I just pray for that person right now that feels that way, that you would just give them hope, that you would give them peace with that. Lord, I pray for the one today with just a very religious spirit, religious heart, the one that has held a grudge for years against someone that's done them wrong, the one that has a hard time judging others around them, the one that is very critical in a lot of things. They're critical with their wife, they're critical with their husband, just constantly critical of the way that they do things. Lord, I pray over that person today that you would help them out and be more loving and be more gracious towards them. And Lord, we just pray it all in your sweet holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You see, guys, I talked about two brothers in that story. But what you don't see in that story is a third brother. And the third brother in that story is the one telling the story, and that's Jesus Christ. He's telling this story. And it's hard. Life is hard. It's tough to get through. But Jesus, you know what he says in the Bible? He says, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. This is how I live my life. I only do what I see the Father doing. I wish that we could wake up in this church and say, I'm done with this reckless living. I'm done with being rebellious. I'm done with being judgmental towards others. I just want to start loving people the way that the Father has graciously loved me. I want to start showing grace where I need to show grace. I want to be a better leader. I want to just be done with this life. I'm tired of it. And so Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. And I want to look at what the Father did in this story. What did he do? The first thing that I noticed in that story was he selflessly loved. He selflessly loved. The second thing that the Father did was he met them where they were at. He went out and he left the party to go to the religious son. He left the celebration to go out. He left that all because he knew that his son was going through something. The religious son, the father sprinted after him and ran to him and kissed him. The Father today wants to meet you right where you are. The last thing that I noticed the Father did in this story was he celebrated those that received. Guys, you can make the choice. You can walk out of this and say, I'm going to continue living the life of the way that I am now. Or you can receive the Father's love for you. What's it going to be? We're all religious. We all struggle with moments of religious thoughts and rebellious thoughts. We all struggle with that. But you see, Jesus never ever sinned. And yet he was a friend of sinners. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law, yet he showed amazing grace. And both of these brothers rejected the Father. Guys, don't walk out of this place rejecting the Father. Don't walk out of this place rejecting his love today, because he loves you. He is here. He is waiting with open arms. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to condemn you. He just loves you. And it's time, maybe you just need to pray in your seat and ask God to forgive you. That, God, I've been struggling critically. Pray over that. If you want to come pray with someone, I'll be standing on the side of the room. There'll be several people standing around praying. If God's speaking to your heart today, why don't you just come? Don't walk out of this place and reject the Father anymore. It's time to celebrate. It's time to get out on the dance floor and experience the Father's love for you and for me. Jesus loves you. God loves you. And Jesus said this in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God showed his love for you and for me. He gave up his only son so that we could come to him. We have access now to the Father. Don't reject it.